Radio Prague News.
The Senate has passed an amendment to the Tobacco Act requiring restaurant owners to choose between allowing or banning smoking on their premises. The age of criminal responsibility in the Czech Republic will likely remain 15 after the Senate passed an amendment to the country's criminal code. Strong winds and stormy weather in the Czech Republic on Thursday saw one person killed while another suffered serious injury. The Senate has passed an amendment to the Tobacco Act requiring restaurant owners to choose between allowing or banning smoking on their premises. The amendment is a long-sought compromise among lawmakers, but one that has come under criticism. Anti-smoking activists charge it should have gone further, while opponents say it violates personal freedoms. If signed by the president and passed into law, restaurants will be required to display clearly whether smoking is allowed or not. Besides outlining provisions for restaurateurs, the bill defines public areas where smoking is banned and sees tighter sanctions for anyone selling tobacco or alcohol to minors. The age of criminal responsibility in the Czech Republic appears set to remain at 15 after amendment to the country's criminal code passed in the Senate on Friday. The new code, which comes into effect in January, had counted on lowering the age of criminal responsibility as well as sexual consent by 1 year. The right-of-center Civic Democratic Party had pushed for the age to remain at 14, but failed with its own proposal. The bill must be signed by President Václav Klaus to come into effect. In the past, he has called the idea of lowering the age of criminal responsibility debatable. The country's Central Flood Commission has admitted that areas hit by flash floods at the end of June should have received warning more quickly, the financial daily Hospodářské noviny has reported. According to the daily, the commission is recommending that the government set aside 30 million crowns to better integrate communication between firefighters and weather specialists in the future. The head of the commission, Environment Minister Ladislav Miko, explained that a key meteorological website had been down at crucial moments during the crisis. According to the Daily, local mayors were not warned in advance of the danger. Meteorologists, meanwhile, have countered, saying that flash floods were not easy to predict, sometimes with only 2 hours or less advance warning. Stormy weather, including strong winds, which hit parts of the Czech Republic on Thursday afternoon, saw one person killed and another suffer serious injury. A 75-year-old woman was found dead in the Liberec region after having been hit by branches. Elsewhere, in a separate incident, a boy was hit by a falling tree. He had to be taken to hospital in serious condition. Storms on Thursday also caused damage to infrastructure. Railway routes had to be cleared, leading to dozens of train delays, and electricity was also down in places. And finally, just a quick look at the weather into the weekend. Daytime temperatures on Saturday should reach highs of around 20 degrees Celsius, but mostly cloudy conditions are expected with a chance of rain. I'm Jan Vellinger, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Jan Richter. Coming up in today's show, the Czech Republic clarifies its smoking legislation, but it's still a far cry from a total ban. Czechs love picking mushrooms and berries, billions of crowns worth every year, according to a new report. The Czech soccer season begins again after the summer break. And later in the arts, we meet a young band from Brno, Lesní zvěř.
This is always a difficult thing to describe the music you make in words, so you just take the closest ones. But new jazz is, I think, a very good description.
All this and more coming up, so please stay tuned. The Czech Republic clarified, rather than tightened, its smoking legislation on Friday when the Senate passed an amendment to the law on smoking in public places. The amendment was very much a compromise between anti-smoking campaigners on one hand and those trying to protect people's right to light up in bars and restaurants on the other. But as Rob Cameron reports, a total ban, such as that which exists in many European countries, remains a long way off.
As any visitor to Prague already knows, smokers are mostly free to light up anywhere and any time they want in Czech bars, pubs and restaurants. The present legislation merely requires the owners of such establishments to divide seating areas into smoking and non-smoking. But when all that means is smoke wafting over from a smoking area into a non-smoking area, that separation is largely imaginary. The new law attempts to clarify that. From now on, if the president signs it, that is, pubs and restaurants will decide whether they are smoking or not and will be obliged to say so on the door. Veteran anti-smoking campaigner Boris Jasny, one of the MPs who drew up the amendment, had this to say to the online news server Novinky.cz.
At the moment, the situation is absolute chaos. No one knows where smoking is allowed and where it's not. All the pub or restaurant has to do is put a sign on the table saying smoking, and that automatically creates a smoking area. Now, at least, thanks to this new law, customers will know as soon as they walk through the door of the pub or restaurant whether it's non-smoking or not. Having said that, I'm still committed to my lifelong aim that every pub, bar and restaurant in this country should be non-smoking without exception.
The amendment has been grudgingly welcomed even by those who fought every attempt to infringe on the rights of smokers. Their spiritual father is Senator Jaroslav Kubera, rarely seen without a cigarette dangling from his lips. I spoke to him earlier by telephone.
The whole idea of such legislation should be to protect non-smokers, not to prevent smokers from indulging in their vice. This is about freedom. Those who choose to run bars and restaurants as smoking establishments have every right to do so. I visited a number of countries recently with smoking bans, and the law is frequently ignored. And where it's not ignored, they set up special members-only smoking clubs, which the law can't touch. The whole point of anti-smoking legislation is that it should not be anti-smoker, but that it should protect non-smokers. If someone is interested in reducing the numbers of smokers, then by all means let them try, but they shouldn't do so by passing laws, but by giving people information.
Senator Kubera categorically rejects the idea that the Czech Republic is drifting inexorably towards a total ban on smoking in bars and restaurants, such as that already in place in countries such as France, Ireland and Italy. He believes if smoking is banned, it'll be beer and sausages next, and says neither Europe nor the European Union has any right to interfere in the sovereign rights of Czech smokers.
Thank you, Rob Cameron, for that report. Now, mushroom and berry picking are common in the Czech Republic, so much so that they pick several billion crowns worth each year. This week, the Agriculture Ministry released figures revealing that in 2008, Czechs picked domestic berries and mushrooms worth 2.7 billion crowns, which is the equivalent of around $150 million. While that's certainly a lot, 2008 was actually a weak year. Jan Wellinger reports.
Mushroom gathering and berry picking have always been popular hobbies in the Czech Republic. In the summer and autumn, the sight of families headed with baskets in hand into the forest, leaving their cars parked on dirt roads, is a fairly common sight. On average, Czechs gather up to 20,000 tons of mushrooms annually, around 9,000 tons of blueberries, and several thousand tons more of assorted forest fruits, including elderberries, brambleberries, and more usually for home consumption, sometimes for sale. Earlier, I spoke to Bohumír Lomský, a representative of the Forestry and Game Management Research Institute.
I think it's typical Czech feature that Czech people like to visit the forest, and it was it's connected with free entrance, which is done by forest law. And also, we have the nature is, and forest, it's a hobby for many people. Mushroom collecting, it's also, and berries collecting, it's also very nice hobby.
Last year pickings were significant, but still slimmer than usual due to less than ideal
weather conditions. By comparison, the most successful year, say, statistics was 1995, when Czechs picked more than 60,000 tons, or around 5 billion crowns worth of forest fruits and wild mushrooms. How often do Czechs head for the forest? On average, an amazing 20 times per year. Of course, they're not alone in their passion for mushroom and berry picking. The hobby is shared by others in this part of Europe, namely by Slovaks and Poles, and a little further east, Ukrainians and Russians.
Jan Wallinger reporting there. It's that time of year again. After what feels like a very short summer break, the Czech Republic's Gambrinus Football League gets underway again on Friday evening when Teplice host last season's runners-up Sparta Prague. There are a number of interesting aspects to the new soccer season, and with me to discuss them is Ian Willoughby. Ian, first, who are the favourites to take the Czech League title in the 2009-2010 season?
Well, the bookies, Jan, are backing Slavia Prague to win the league. And that would be a great achievement. It would be their third title in a row. And I'm not sure if that's ever happened in the history of the club, that they've won three titles on the trot. Slavia have been in the ascendant in recent years at the expense of Sparta Prague, their great rivals. Sparta, of course, are the most successful club ever in the history of Czech soccer. They came second last season, as you said. Actually, coming first this season means more than it has done in previous years. That's because the Czech clubs have done poorly in Europe over the last few years, and what's called the country's coefficient fell. And what that means is that only the winner of the Czech League gets into the qualifiers for the Champions League, not the first two teams, as has been the case in the last decade. So as I say, coming second means rather less now than it used to.
I understand a couple of the Czech League's biggest stars may not be playing this season.
That's right, yeah, and one of the biggest stars in the league, Vladimir Schmitzer at Slavia, he's 36 years old now. He's trying to come back after a knee operation, but he says that all he really wants to do is say goodbye to the game of soccer on the field of play. It looks like he believes that his career is effectively over. Also, his good friend Patrick Berger, who's now the captain at Sparta, he may never play again. He's had a lot of injuries in recent years. And there's some speculation that an ankle problem that he has right now could mean that his career is over. By the way, another interesting factor this season is the very high number of foreign players in the Czech League. There are nearly 100, and you might expect almost all of them to be Slovaks, but in actual fact, less than half are from Slovakia. The rest come from elsewhere. For example, there are now 10 Brazilians in the Czech League.
And Ian, could you tell us a bit about the interesting thing that there are two clubs called Bohemians in the Czech First Division?
Yes, that's extremely odd. There are two clubs called Bohemians. They wear very similar green and white strips. They have the identical logo, which is a kangaroo. And the reason for that is that that Bohemians, an old Prague club, collapsed a few years ago. And the name was bought by a small club called Stříčkov. They're now named Bohemians Praha. In the meantime, the original Bohemians were revived as Bohemians 1905. And at the moment, there's a legal dispute over the name, and Bohemians Praha are threatening to refuse to play a game against the real Bohemians. That's Bohemians 1905. And that game should take place in October. And I think if it does happen, it'll be quite a fiery encounter. And one final thing I would say, Jan, about the Czech soccer season is that Saturday, unlike in some countries like the UK, isn't a traditional day for games here, but this season Czech television have decided to show games live every Saturday, so that'll be something new for Czech football fans.
Well, we all have a look this weekend what's happening on the pitch. Thanks, Ian Willoughby. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Chris Johnstone now joins me in the studio for the roundup of this week's business news.
The biggest news this week has been the Ministry of Finance's much gloomier prediction of the depth of the economic crisis. It has almost doubled its estimate of how much the economy will shrink this year to 4.3% of gross domestic product. Just 3 months ago in April, the prediction was for a 2.3% fall this year. One of the main reasons for the revision is the much sharper fall in exports than originally expected. If confirmed, the economic decline will be the biggest to hit the Czech Republic.
Star Wars director George Lucas has dealt a blow to the Czech film industry by saying he is likely to take filming of a major Star Wars TV series elsewhere. Lukas, who previously produced films in the country, has told the media he prefers to take his projects where the best crew and best tax incentives are. While the Czech film industry might still qualify it on the form account, it definitely does not on the latter. No national tax incentive program for foreign filmmakers is in place. Local film production companies warn that 2009 is turning into the worst year ever for foreign film projects.
Leading left-wing party, the Social Democrats, has promised to do everything to adopt the single currency euro by 2015 at the latest. The pledge has come from the party ahead of early elections in October. The news should be welcomed by businesses in the export-oriented Czech economy, which have been hard hit by the high-riding crown. But there is a problem. Much of the rest of the Social Democrat platform promises increased spending, likely to deepen the annual public spending deficit. This needs to be cared for being accepted in the Euro Club. Social Democrat economic experts have warned this year's deficit could swell to 6% of GDP, twice the level permitted for Euro adoption.
If there are signs that the recession may be easing in some sectors of the economy, they're absent elsewhere. Bosch Diesel, which employs 5,000 around the central city of Jihlava, has announced that it will continue four-day working into March 2010. It says that demand for the pumps it produces for diesel-powered cars has still not picked up. Four-day working was launched in February. One of the problems is that the old-for-new scrap car incentives that have spread across Europe have mostly favoured smaller petrol-driven cars and not the bigger diesel models.
The Economist magazine's Big Mac Index has put the Czech Republic just ahead of the US when it comes to the price paid for the famed fast food item. Czechs pay $3.64 for a Big Mac, which compares with $3.57 in the States. The Czech Republic still comes in under the EU Big Mac average price of $4.62, but it is now a third more expensive than Poland. A year ago, the price of a Big Mac was around a quarter higher in the Czech Republic than the US and about the same as in Poland.
And now in this week's edition of The Arts, we meet a young band from Brno, Lesní zvěř. The band Lesní zvěř has been around for some 8 years, touring clubs and festivals in the Czech Republic, Germany, Slovakia and beyond. In June, the Brno-based group released their debut album. Their live acts are famous for high energy levels and a powerful sound. On the eponymous album, the mixture of jazz, psychedelia and drum and bass gets yet another twist with a guest Moravian folk band. The band singer Miloš Rejsek says that back in 2001, when the band first formed, freedom in music was what appealed to them most.
We felt we wanted to do something more freely, to express ourselves in a music way, in a different way. And it was a time when there was this new wave coming of ensembles or bands or musicians who worked more with computers. And it was a time when Ondřej Liška also got involved in music for the first time in his life, and he was the most important influence at that time.
Lesní zvěř translates into English as forest game. Two of the band's five original members do in fact have animal names. Rejsek means shrew mouse, while Liška means fox. But the idea for the name came from another source.
The combination of words in Czech makes you think about more like agricultural things, and even if you googled these two words, say 3 years ago, all the pages that popped up were about all the animals and deer in the forests and all the problems and roadkill and things like that. But I think it fits perfectly the feeling we have when we make music, that it's always sort of spontaneous and also fragile in a way, very shy, but also there's this pure energy. I like to compare it to a feeling humans get when they see deer in the snow in a forest trembling and all wet, and you feel, oh, poor thing. But it's not really like that. So it's this contradiction or inattention which is in this. we sort of like put together all the kinds of music we liked, and when this new kind of music, like done with computers and more freely came, it was sort of like the most important aspect of the inspiration. Formally, we didn't try to fit in some kind of a genre. So this is always a difficult thing to describe the music you make in words, so you just take the closest ones. But new jazz is, I think, a very good description.
It took some time for Les Niezwierz to get around to making their debut album. The band did some recording along the way, but as vocalist Miloš Rejsek explains, they had to learn how to capture their live energy in the studio. With the help of producer Dušan Neuwert, they believe they found a way.
It was difficult because we were quite wild when it comes to playing live, but there was a trick we learned along the way that you have to sort of like put things apart, or the most difficult thing is to record these raw songs or very wild and energetic. So we had to figure out how to just, you know, bypass all the things and come from other direction, and then it sort of like falls into place. I can't really describe it because it's always intuitive, and you just try to. We came up with a description that is a jam session with a computer.
One of the most powerful compositions on the new album, Hostín, features a folk band from the region known as Moravian Slovakia. It's famous for its traditions, and it's where folklore music is still alive. The band's keyboard player Jura Hradil is from that area, and you can tell.
Sort of a like nice thing to get something from it on a record, because there's some sort of an inner link in it between what we do genre-wise in Les Niezwierz and how they sound and how they feel, because it's very raw, very spontaneous, not really thinking about how it should sound or what they do, but they just do it, and that's how Les Niezwierz came about actually.
The band says that the voice for them is another instrument and lyrics don't take precedence over music. That might be the reason why the band's lyrics are English.
In the Czech Republic, you get this a lot because I think musically we're quite enclosed in our culture. And I don't feel like this. I don't have this kind of background. I don't have roots, even though I was born in the Czech Republic. But when I look at my families, it's a sort of a mixture of different influences. My grandfather was German, so it was sort of like a natural thing for me to express myself in this way. And also when we went abroad, it felt absolutely natural to sing in English, and I think it's just the way bands do it in Europe. So actually my sort of snobbish answer is why not.
One of the band's founding members, Ondrej Liška, is also a politician. Liška, who is in his early 30s, is currently the head of the Green Party and for nearly 2 years was Czech education minister. He still sometimes plays concert with Les Niezwierz, and he appeared as a guest vocalist on the album. But Miloš Rejsek says that he's more like the non-playing captain of a Davis Cup tennis team.
When we got together, he was quite influential. It was like when you have this tennis teams playing Davis Cup, you have this captain or whatever you call him, who's just the figure behind it. But he also performs from time to time. When he has time, he also performs with us live still. But Jiří Hradil came with a very funny or nice description that we wanted to become famous as Les Niezwierz, so he decided to sacrifice and he went to become an MP, and it didn't help us, so he said, okay, let's take it a little further, so he has become a president, minister, maybe president sometime, I don't know.
Whether or not Ondrej Liška becomes president, Czech music fans will have a chance to hear the band on tour this autumn. Some of the shows will even feature the Moravian Slovakian folklore band.
It's going to be the end of September, beginning of October. There are going to be several concerts arranged as a sort of a tour or launch tour, whatever you call it. You can find out on our website. It's www.lesniezwer.cz or on MySpace. It's not going to be difficult to find us.
This week's edition of The Art with Lesni Zvěř was the final part of our program here on Radio Prague. If you feel like commenting on anything you've heard in the program, or if you have any questions for us, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.